Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal here tonight with Bruce McCurdy on the happy event of the Oilers 7-2 victory over the Buffalo Sabres, Bruce. So we're going to do the two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. What was your good thing?
My good thing tonight's Mikko Koskinen bouncing back with a solid effort after a pretty shaky start. Man, he let up a real weird one, eh? 1 minute into the first period. And it was a deflection, like it was a shot from the boards, and it was a deflection from the funky angle, and it somehow leaked in the short side. And it wasn't deflected. It's an easy save, and he got fooled by it. But a little bit of an unnerving start, and then he just settled right down, and he was pretty terrific thereafter, I thought. Some good saves with that glove that you like so much.
Yeah, well, they shot low. They shot low. Shot low, not high. But hey, listen, I'm hoping that the, like I said, I'm hoping that the glove thing was the glitch in his game, not a feature of his game.
Yeah, I read that.
And there's a chance that it was just like just a technical thing that he had to work on. You know, these things happen with goalies, and he looked like the old Koskinen again, like the one that we saw for the first 2 months of the season, who was fantastic. And good to see that. He looked confident in the net, and he certainly made a number of big saves, especially in the first period. Bruce, what do we have here? Let me go here to our...
First period was crazy, eh?
The Sabres had 7 grade A scoring, six grade A scoring chances in the first period, including they closed out the period with five in a row, and they only scored once there.
Oh, you call that deflection a B, eh?
I thought it was a B. I mean, even it wasn't much of a deflection, and he just has to seal that off. Like, that angle, he shouldn't be scoring from, I don't think. What do you think?
Tips are always tough, man. Always tough.
They are. We can talk about it. Maybe it's an A. Yeah. Anyway, there was lots of the Sabres really came handed it to the Oilers, and you know, that's actually we'll just skip ahead to my bad thing, which was that period in the game where Edmonton's up 3-1 and then it's 3-2 and Sabres just kept coming on. I'm thinking, geez, beat these guys. You know, I'll play them. But this is not the story of the season, Bruce. I keep thinking, or I was thinking tonight, if we didn't have all such high expectations with the Oilers having McDavid, we might actually be able to enjoy this team, which is kind of scraping along in this weird playoff race.
And except for that rat McDavid, eh? He's always spoiling it for everyone by raising our expectations to an unreasonable level.
Well, it's true. Sure sets expectations, skyrockets them, and justifiably. Uh-huh. But it makes us, I think, it does increase the pressure, I think, in the city. Everyone thinks we got to win, like, or McDavid won't want to stay here, or...
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing that.
We hear it all the time from those...
I know, it drives me nuts. Well, no.
From Toronto. God, they're sick of them. But we do hear it all the time.
He's halfway into the first year of an 8-year contract. He's facing the challenge of his lifetime, and... people just assume he's just going to ask out of here. I mean, that's a quitter's attitude, and that's maybe what some of the people that are thinking he thinks like that might be thinking. But I'm 100% sure he doesn't think like that.
Yeah, I hope the karma bites him in the ass and Austin Matthews signs an offer sheet in Arizona. Like, seriously. Like, there won't be any pity for me if that happens.
But it's partly
there are some
from Toronto. It's too much of it coming from Edmonton, David.
Yeah, fair enough, Bruce.
Just let the guy play and quit with ramping up the pressure every time the team plays bad. It just doesn't advance the conversation.
He's going to run out of here.
Like when he looked haggard after the last game, like it was like, look how beat up the poor guy. Look, everyone send this picture to Shirley, like they're harming this dude and blah blah blah. You're right. A lot of it's come from Edmonton, and a lot of it's come from people like, oh, well, if you don't win in the first 3 years of his contract, they'll never win. And if you don't win, like, take advantage of these ELC years. It's like, that was one of the first narratives that we heard. And it's just, you know, what if the Leafs won in Matthews' ELC? You know, they have a chance this year, but they haven't won a playoff series yet. So yeah. I agree. It's time to give that a rest. But that's what I'm saying, Bruce. We should, on a certain level, we should be able to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. This weird, you know, the weird little playoff race that they're in, and it truly is weird. but they are in it, and they're hanging in there. Mm-hmm. Like we're mid-January, and the Oilers are tied for a playoff spot.
Got two points tonight, and they're one game closer to Oscar Klefbom returning to the lineup.
Exactly. And they, you know, they've added a player in Caleb Jones who can play. Anyway, so that was my bad thing.
My good thing
was McDavid.
My good thing
is McDavid, because he was flying tonight. And when I looked at how many major, he was only in, I think, on three, maybe just two grade A scoring chances in the end, or in terms of major contributions. But man, he was I was surprised when I saw that. I thought it was going to be eight or nine, because he was just streaking up and down the ice and making all kinds of great plays. I was very, very impressed with Connor McDavid tonight. Maybe there was one.
He played just 17 minutes and 3 seconds, which was partly a function of the score. And I think the combination of the score plus him being sick enough, the way he looked Saturday night, and to miss the skills competition yesterday, which sparked some of that nasty commentary. I think Hitchcock just sort of spotted him in and out and didn't push him. He pushed Dreisaitl 21 and a half minutes, 4.5 minutes more than any other forward. But usually it's Dry and McDavid together that are doing those big minutes. And tonight he took the foot off the gas on McDavid, and you know, he got a couple points, but they really didn't need him to the degree that they usually need him.
I sure liked what I saw, because he did look not very good against Arizona. He didn't have a great game, but he looked fantastic like McDavid again. So what was your bad thing?
Yeah, my facetiously I'm going to say wasted goals, and specifically the 4 goals scored by Zach Kassian and Milan Lucic, who each doubled their season total from 2 goals to 4 goals. And those are goals the Oilers could desperately need at various times in 1-goal defeats and so on this season. And wouldn't you know it, the game that they score 4 goals, that the Oilers win by 5, and you could technically make the argument they didn't even need any of those goals. Now, I wouldn't make that argument, because I think when they scored the goals was really important for turning that game around. Kassian's first was a fluke, but his second was a beauty. Man, he was flying and made a good aggressive shoot in and drove for the net front. And good old Toby Reeder, old reliable Toby Reeder, fed the nice goalmouth pass for the easy tap in, and just like that, it was 3-1.
Toby the Toad. He is. That was a very nice play. I'm glad to see Toby Reeder. There's no lack of hustle
tonight. Yeah.
No lack of hustle in Tobias Reeder's game, Bruce.
I'm aware of that. No, he skates and he skates hard, and he's just been skating to no effect lately. I think he had 20 games without a point, and he broke out with 2 in the first period tonight, 2 assists. Still looking for that elusive first goal, but I'll take assists too for secondary scoring. Hey, too many nights all those guys had 0 points.
Yeah. Okay, my number, Bruce, is 4, and that's the number of teams tied for the wild card spot.
Wow.
Right now we have 4 teams. They are Minnesota with 47 points, Edmonton with 47. Oh, geez. Yeah, Edmonton with 47 points. I thought it was suddenly 5 teams. Edmonton with 47 points, Anaheim with 47 points, and Vancouver with 47 points. And those stinking Canucks who have beaten us this year twice are in town next, are they not?
We're there.
Oh, the Oilers better win that game. They got to go in there and win that game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Not ratcheting up the pressure.
They got to take it to those guys.
Yes, that's it. Vancouver has outworked them both games so far, and I want to see an end to that.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're just a little bit faster than the Oilers, I think. And I mean, the Oilers' puck-moving problems on the defense are persistent and very real. You know, again, I'm really encouraged by Caleb Jones's emergence. He was caught flat-footed on a couple of scoring chances tonight. And we've seen that in a few games now. So he's human, right? He's an NHL defenseman. He's going to get beat out a few times. But it is just such a relief to me to see an Oilers defenseman who can move the damn puck with some acuity. Because, you know, how many of them can't? All of them?
Close.
Yeah.
At least, you know, with Klefbom and Secker out of the lineup and Bouchard in London, I mean, that's probably your 3 best puck movers right there.
Yeah, I mean, Nurse and Russell are kind of marginal, and Benning is less than marginal, and Manning is negligible.
So Adam Larson, you know, I mean,
he's okay.
He's one of those guys. He really reminds me of Gator. He's a Swedish Gator. And Gator would do the same thing. He'd beat the puck square for about 55 minutes a game. Then he'd make one or two really nifty plays. And Larson sure made one tonight on the breakout to Lucic and Nugent Hopkins. He won two battles in the corner, and then he passed against the grain. And all of a sudden, it was a 2-on-1 flying down the other way for the Oilers.
He reminds me of Norman Rochefort.
The unforgettable Norman Rochefort.
Yeah. Hey, he played on the 1987 Canada Cup team, Norman Rochefort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
So he was a good player in his for a short amount of time.
With the Nordiques, eh?
Yeah, with the Nordiques. What's your number, Bruce?
Oh, my number is, I'm going to go with this crazy shot total, 43-25 for Buffalo. And shot attempts 72-37, almost 2-1.
Oh, you criminy.
Yeah. And the Oilers have been just getting slaughtered on the shot clock. I wrote about it today in my game day post. And it's like, if you factor in tonight's game, it's like minus 10 shots per game since Klefbom went down. And this is like, of the 16 games that Oscar's been out of the lineup, they've been outshot by 12 or more shots, 8 of them. And they've been outshot by 6 or more shots in 14 out of 16 games. Like 1 or 2 shots. They're getting soundly outshot every night.
It wasn't just Klefbom out. It was Russell for a lot of those games.
Well, of course. But yeah, so it was Russell's back.
And they're still getting outshot with Russell.
Klefbom, yeah, I think they missed Klefbom. Klefbom's their number one.
For sure they missed
their Klefbom. Results have just gone sideways, and the fact Russell went out at the same time certainly amplified that. But
just think when he comes back, you'll have Klefbom and Larson, mm-hmm. and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Jones, whether he will play ahead of Russell on the – because he can play that right side. You could put Jones and Nurse together, and that's what I would do. And then you have Russell and Dunning.
The thousands.
Or Petrovic if he's back. Russell and Petrovic.
Or Manning.
Not Manning.
Oh, we got all of these guys here. Holy mackerel, we got a lot of defensemen.
Gravel. gravel. All right, Bruce, thanks for talking to me.
You had your number?
Yeah, it was 4.
Oh, right. Okay, that's how you framed that one, right. Okay, yeah. Fun game tonight, and we both got to it late because of other commitments, but it was nice to see the boys put a few pucks in the net, and I don't think it was Buffalo's night, let's put it that way and just leave it there, but it's just nice to have a game where it's not life and death, you know, just get a lead and keep it and just sort of pull away. It's, you know, you got to have one of those at least once a month or so.
Be great to have another one and then another one. And then
yeah,
I could do with that. All right. Thanks for talking, Bruce.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.